This is part two of Two Kings, Two Kingdoms, and Yahweh and Yahushua. A very precious story of a father and a son. And so we can see that with Cambias. He was the father of Cyrus. And we see that with David, who's the father of Solomon. And so we are looking at co-regents, a very common situation. So this is part two of it. First and foremost, we've got to realize that Yahushua is not a king now. Yahweh is a king in heaven. And we know that the Lord's prayer was, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," not as it will be in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
So according to Yahweh is ruling in the heavens. He is a king. He's not ruling on the earth, neither is Yahushua, or we would not have the disasters that are happening. This is man's day. The church epistles will never say the word king. So it's always Lord Yahushua, never King Yahushua. So king is his future title when he comes to the earth and he reigns. And that's what a king does. He reigns. Let's see. So we're, before you guys begin, you guys go ahead and go to 1 Chronicles if you want.
Yeah, I'm all right there.
We're going to go to two other verses first, but stay in Chronicles. We're going to go to Revelation 11. Many places in Scripture, we're going to see where it says Yahweh is king, and other places where Yahweh has become king, or Yahweh is becoming king. And so you have to say, well, what is it? What is it? So we have to look at whether it's prophecy, we're foretelling the future, whether they're talking about the kingdom in heavens right now. And so by looking at the context, but we'll see right here in Revelation 11, the end of the book, as we talked about last week, there's two kingdoms, one in the heavens and one on earth. Yahweh is ruling the kingdom of heaven. Yahushua is up there at his right hand, probably obviously assisting ruling also. But the future kingdom of the earth is still to come to be. So 11, verse 15 through 18, excuse me. And the seventh messenger sounded, and there came to be a loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world," this is where we are right now, "the kingdom of the world hath become the kingdom of Yahweh." "And of his Christ. And he shall reign upon the age of ages." Now remember, this is at the end of the book of Revelation. We're going through the tribulation. "And the 24 elders who before Yahweh do sit upon their throne fell down upon their faces and rendered homage unto Yahweh, saying, 'We give thanks to thee, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts.'" So as we find out, there is no Lord God Almighty any place in the Old Testament. And so you have to say, well, where did this new term, Lord God Almighty, come from? And we'll find out when it says, Yahweh Elohim of the host, the Septuagint translated that Lord God Almighty. So our best understanding would be this would be Lord Yahweh Elohim of host, "who is and who was, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast become king. And the nations were angered, and thy anger came, and in the fifth times of the dead to be vindicated, and to give the reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and unto the saints, and unto them who revere thy name, the small and the great, and to despoil them who were despoiling the earth." So we saw the kingdom of the world being overtaken by the kingdom of Yahweh. We'll go to 19, verse 5. Another reference of the becoming the kingdom. "And a voice from the throne came forth, saying, 'Be giving praise unto your Elohim, all ye his servants, ye that revere him, the small and the great.' And I heard as a voice of the great multitude, and a voice of many waters, and a voice of mighty thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah! Because Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, hath what? Become king. Let's rejoice and exude and give glory unto him. Because the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and it will be given unto her, and she shall be arrayed in fine linen, bright and pure. for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So the bride of the Lamb is who?
Israel.
Israel. Yeah, so that is Yahushua uniting with Israel. Yahweh is always foremost in the kingdoms, whether it's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of earth, because the reason Yahushua has the kingdom of earth is because his Father gave it to him. So Yahushua is sitting at the right hand of Yahweh, and Yahweh is not sitting at the right hand of Yahushua. So Yahweh is always going to be the king, and Yahushua, acting king, is his representative, which we'll see through the time. We'll see Joseph and Pharaoh, the same kind of situation. And the same way with any father-son relationship. So even when David was still king and gave his kingship to Solomon, Solomon is still subject to David, because that's his father. Now we'll get into where we were last week, David's house foreshadowing Christ. That's where we stopped last time. Mm-hmm. King David foreshadowing Christ. And that begins, Chronicles 1:1.
Second Chronicles.
First Chronicles.
Chapter 1, verse 1?
Yes. It's very instrumental. Chronicles is the end of the Old Testament. And the Septuagint changed that and made Malachi the end of the Old Testament. So according to the Hebrew Bible, there are 24 books, not 36. The end was 2 Chronicles. And Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles were one book. There's no two kings, there's no two Samuel. There's one king, one Samuel, one Chronicle. 24 books. It is the kings of what? Judah. So it's not the kings of the 10 tribes, it's the king of Judah. Chronicles is describing. Which, who else is the final king of Judah?
Yahushua.
Who is the son of David? First Chronicles actually begins the reign with David as the king, not Saul. So Chronicles 1:1, did I get there? Here's the chronology. So chrono means time. So Chronicles is a timepiece. Adam, Seth, Enos. And it starts off with Adam. We go to verse 28. The sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. So we go from Adam to Abraham. And we go to chapter 2, verse 3. Excuse me. The sons of Judah, or Judah, Ur and Onan. So we know the Christ line is coming through Judah, or Judah. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. Now these are the sons of David. So we've gone from Adam to Abraham to Judah to David. That's Chronicles. It's not going to talk about Ahab. It's not going to talk about Elijah. It's not going to talk about Elijah, because they are prophets of who?
Israel,
the 10 tribes. You got one place in here where Elijah comes in.
He said 12 tribes. Are you talking about?
Yeah. So we're talking about 12 tribes. And remember, Israel can mean a lot. It can mean the individual whose name was Jacob or Jacob. He's also called Israel. The 12 sons were Israel. But then when the kingdom split, remember, Yahweh gave to Jeroboam 10 tribes. Yeah. That became Israel. And Judah and Benjamin became Judah, where we get the word Jew. That's where the word Jew comes from, stands for Judah. Judeans. So when I say Israel now, in the context, it's the 10 northern tribes. Judah is the two tribes. David reigned over all 12. Solomon reigned over all 12. Rehoboam only reigned over two. And Jeroboam took the 10. And it was split ever since then. So that's Judah, and then we go right into David. So Chronicles doesn't deal with those 10 tribes. It's about the kingship, and that's Yahushua. Let's see, we go to, very interesting. The first man king was Saul. His name was actually Saul. And all it mentions about Saul in Chronicles is his death, him and his sons. Isn't that a sad state? Yahweh chose Saul, and there's nothing about him except for his death and his sons. And a sad, you know, that's a tragedy. So we go to chapter 11, verse 1, and we begin with David. That's how you pronounce it, David.
11, verse what?
Verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1, Chronicles.
Second Chronicles?
No, First Chronicles, right on your sheet.
Oh. Oh, it's one. Kings,
Second, First. That's Kings. Okay, Second Chronicles 36.
No, I mean, it's me, your mind.
22.
First
Chronicles.
I keep skipping Second Chronicles.
This is so cool because the end of the Old Testament. She's laughing. They'll be all right off the tape, I think. I don't know what else to do.
No, that's dedication right there.
That's right.
I deserve to hang up the back and say,
that's right.
Okay.
It's a point.
At the end of the Old Testament ends with this proclamation. Verse 22. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, to accomplish the word of Elohim by the mouth of Jeremiah, Yahweh aroused the spirit or Ruach of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made proclamation throughout all his kingdom, moreover also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens, given unto me. Who else is going to be able to say that?
Yahushua.
Oh, yeah. That's right. What is Cyrus going to build, people?
Temple.
The temple. Who else is going to build the temple?
Yahushua.
And he himself had laid charge upon me to build him a house in Jerusalem. Where is Yahushua going to build it? In Jerusalem. Which is in Judea. Who were among you all his people, with whom is Yahweh his God. Then let him go up. That is the end of the Old Testament. Beginning of the new, the next book is really Matthew. So Second Chronicles, that verse begins with Yahushua the King. Matthew 1:1. So Cyrus is a foreshadowing of Yahushua. All the kingdoms of the earth are his.
Cyrus is?
Yeah. And he was having the temple rebuilt.
He's actually called Mashiach, isn't he?
I don't know.
Cyrus, I thought he was a Chaldean.
Yeah, in Persia. Nebuchadnezzar was a Chaldean.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew 1:1. The lineage rule of Yahushua Mashiach, son of David, son of Abraham. So we got Cyrus, they were building a temple. Then it says the lineage rule of Yahushua Mashiach, son of David, son of Abraham. And we go to 17. So then all the generations from Abraham unto David are 14 generations, and from David unto the removal of Babylon, 14 generations, and from the removal of Babylon unto Christ, 14 generations. Matthew, the book of Matthew, is Christ as king. The word kingdom is used 54 times in Matthew, and David is used 17 times. So we look at chapter 2, verse 1 of Matthew. Now when Yahushua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the day of Herod the king, lo, wise men from eastern parts came into Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that hath been born? What?
King.
King of the Judeans. For we saw his star in the east and have come bow down to him. There's the king, Yahushua. And then we go to verse 25, or chapter 25. Excuse me.
Chapter 25.
Look at your notepad.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It's all on there.
Oh, page 29. Got it.
Page 29. 25, verse 31 to 34.
Shall
I read that?
I will. But whensoever the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the messengers with him, then will he sit on the throne of glory, and there will be gathered before him all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, just as the shepherd separated the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep indeed on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then will the king say to those on his right hand, Come ye, the blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Isn't that great? Then will the king say to those on his right hand, Who is that King Yahushua? Come enjoy our kingdom. Now we go back to Genesis 1, and we get to see the relationship of Yahweh with mankind, which is a terrestrial being, not a celestial being, has always been giving man the earth. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And Elohim said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the heavens, over the tame beast, and over all the land, and over every creepy thing that creepeth on the land. And Elohim created the man in his own image, in the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them. Verse 28, And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moveth on the land. There is the lordship and kingship that Adam, that Yahweh gave Adam and Eve. Now we go to chapter 3, verse 14. Obviously that's lost. And now we see the seed of the woman. So I read verse 14 and 15.
Then said Yahweh unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, accursed art thou above every tame beast and above every wild beast of the field. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Verse 15.
And immediately
enmity
will I put between thee and the woman, and the
between
thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy head, but thou shalt crush his heel.
Let me stop there. Now, doesn't that give you a good example of David also? This is Christ as warrior. He's going to crush the head of the serpent. And he's going to be injured in part. He said he's going to crush your heel. So David was the warrior. Solomon was the reigner of a kingdom
peacemaker.
Of peace.
Didn't you say the peacemaker?
Yeah, peacemaker. And Solomon means that. Shalom. You know, so Solomon means peace. And who named him that?
David.
Yeah, no, Yahweh named Solomon. Mm-hmm. Chapter 41 of Genesis.
I'm there.
Oh, smart.
and verse 39 through 44. Now we're going to see the big significance of Joseph with Pharaoh. This is representing the Christ line with us. A father and a son. And so somebody would read 39 to 44.
I will. That's chapter 41, right?
Yeah.
So Pharaoh said unto Joseph, after Yahweh hath made known unto thee all this, there is no one discreet and wise like thee. Thou shalt be over my house, and on my mouth shall all my people kiss. Only as to the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh took his ring from off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand.
Isn't that nice? That's what Yahweh has done to Yahushua.
And clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put the chain of gold upon his neck, and made him ride in the second chariot which belonged to him. And they cried out before him, bow the knee.
That's Philippians 2:10. Every knee will bow to Christ.
Thus setting him over all the land of Egypt.
Go to 49 or 44.
And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee, therefore, shall no man raise his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name.
I'm going to stop there. So we get to see that the only person who was above Joseph was Pharaoh. And today, the only person who is above Yahushua is Yahweh. And who can tell me what verse that's in? 1 Corinthians 15. We'll go to that. Verse 23. And we've got to realize, you know, this is so evident by reading the scriptures. When people, let's just say how 1 Corinthians 15 is completely neglected because it does not fit into what people want to believe. So when people say, absent from the body, present from the Lord, to say that people are in heaven when they die, completely throw out a whole chapter that specifically addresses death and resurrection. They never come here because it's going to throw it out. Absent from the body, present with the Lord is only dealing with Christ coming back and people being, you know, gathered together or in the parousia at that time. And that's what absent from the body, present with the Lord is. That's what that's talking about, the gathering together. And that's what Paul wanted to be a part of. Instead of dying, because don't interrupt, I'm talking. So we all have a choice of dying or Christ coming back, and he didn't want to die to be found naked. So in that 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about being found naked, which is death. He wanted this to happen. 1 Corinthians 15 deals with death. Every time the word raised in there, it is egairo, which means to be awakened. The word asleep is in there. But let's just go to verse 23. Chapter 15, verse 23. Each in his own rank. A first fruit Christ. After that, they who are Christ in his presence. Now let's just go to 22. This is answering our question again, too. People are not in heaven. For just as in Adam all die, so also in the Christ shall all be made alive. Wait a minute, they're already alive. There's no shall about it. According to religious theology. But each in his own rank, a first fruit, Christ. Who was the first?
Christ.
Well, where was Abraham and Moses and Elijah? They're already in heaven.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Abel been the first fruit?
Yeah.
He was the first one murdered, first one died. Abel would have been the first fruit. No, it's Christ. After that, they who are Christ in his presence. And that's in parousia, after that, those who are going to be called and raised at that particular time. Afterwards, the end. Whensoever he delivered up the kingdom. Now watch, so this is very important. We know and from last session, the new earth, that Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years, he's reigning. But once death is destroyed, You know, the revolt comes. He throws the people into the lake of fire. The adversary is thrown in the lake of fire. Death and Sheol are gone. This is what we're talking about. Now, he is surrendering everything to Yahweh at that particular point. Look right here. Afterwards, the end. Whensoever he delivereth up the kingdom unto who?
His
Elohim, his God and Father. Whensoever he shall bring to naught all rule and all authority and power. Ah, now, keep your finger here and look at Mark chapter 1. We're coming right back here. This is great. 1:2, Isaiah prophesied this. Page 34. You said Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These are not on the papers. According as it is written in Isaiah the prophet.
Okay, where are you?
Chapter 1, verse 2.
Okay.
This is what all life's about. According as written in Isaiah the prophet, woe, I send my messenger before thy face, who will prepare thy way, a voice of one crying aloud in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yahweh, make straight be making his paths. That's Isaiah 40, verse 3. How do we know that's Yahweh? It's not Yahushua. Go to Isaiah 40, verse 3.
What was that again, sir?
That's in the footnote. That's where he's quoting Isaiah. When people say, make straight the path of the Lord, they thought he was talking about Yahushua.
What chapter?
40, verse 3 of Isaiah.
Chapter?
Well, you don't have to go there. It's just going to be one verse.
Oh.
Let's see. Now here's the Hebrew. Isaiah said, a voice of one crying, in the desert prepare you the way of who?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Make smooth in the ways plain a highway for our Elohim. That's what we've all been doing. And we'll go back to 1 Corinthians. That is what Yahushua just did. All the bad people are gone. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 15, and afterwards the end, whensoever he delivers up the kingdom unto his Elohim and Father, whensoever he shall bring to naught all rule and authority and power. It's all gone. He has prepared the way for Yahweh, what? To come to the earth. Revelation 21. For he must needs reign, reigning as a king, until he shall put all his enemies under his feet. As the last enemy, death is to be destroyed. We saw that in Revelation 20. Revelation 20. For he, Yahweh, put all things in subjection under his feet. That's kingship. But whensoever it shall be said, all things are in subjection, it is evident that it means except for Yahweh, who did put into subjection unto Yahushua the all things. But whensoever have been put into subjection unto Yahweh the all things, then the Son himself shall be put in what? Subjection. Unto him, unto Yahweh, who put in subjection unto Yahushua the all things, that Yahweh may be all things in all. That's the whole tier system. So Yahushua reigns for 1,000 years. He makes straight the path for Yahweh. Death and Sheol, the adversary, all gone. Everybody's gone. Except for people who want to be there. The new Jerusalem comes back down, and then we have it. Still got time back. Okay, we've got a few more minutes. So when you read Isaiah, we have to read, when we're reading about the new earth, we have to realize, is this the 1,000-year earth that Christ is reigning in, or is this the Revelation 21 earth, the final, the third earth, third heaven, the third earth? So one way you can find out, let's just go to Isaiah 60, chapter 60, verse 12.
What page?
Go to Isaiah. So it's right after Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. Remember, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. Now these are actually, they show them on this. Chapter 60.
Proverbs.
If people are perishing, then that is the thousand-year reign, because we know in Revelation 21, death and Sheol are gone. There is no more death, there's no more crying. So if there's death, that's the thousand-year reign. So we look at 60 verse 12, and it will say, "For the nations and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish." Okay. If you look at verse 19, it's going to switch into the third heaven and third earth. "Thou shalt no more have the sun for light by day," because that's the other indicator. Remember, in the third heaven and third earth, Yahweh is the light thereof. There is no more constellation. So in this same chapter, you have both the thousand-year reign and the third heaven and earth, where Yahushua, there is no more sun. And there will be no more death in that particular passage. But they're in the same chapter, so we have to rightly divide. Let's go to chapter 35 of Isaiah. And you're going to see people dying in this reign.
Chapter what? I'm sorry.
65. Yeah, 65 verse 20. So, let's look at verse 17 first. "For behold me creating new heavens and a new earth." Well, we think that that is the final one, but it's not. Because if you go to verse 20, "There shall be henceforth no more a suckling of a few days, or an elder who filleth not up for his days." So there's death still here. But a youth 100 years old may die. Yea, a sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. So mortal men are still on this new heaven and new earth. And Revelation 21, there is no mortal men. Everybody is immortal. We go to Zechariah, and we'll kind of end there. 14, verse 6-9. So we got Malachi, Zechariah, or Zechariah, Malachi.
So it's 10 at the back of the Old Testament.
That's right. 14. We kind of started here last week.
Zechariah, what chapter?
Chapter 14. Page 911 of the Old Testament. This also is going to pertain to two kingdoms, the two different time zones. We have to know which one is which. Look at verse 9, and it says, "So will Yahweh become king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Yahweh, and his name be one." But we know there's death on that earth, because it will talk about, you know, in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not come up out of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to bow down to the king, Yahweh of hosts, they shall not on them be any rain." And we're going to see plagues and everything else that comes out. So we know that has to be the thousand-year reign. But in the same verse, we're going to see no sun. In verse 6 to 9. Before 9, 6 to 9 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The bright star shall be withdrawn, and it shall be a day by itself. The same shall be known unto Yahweh, not day nor night. It shall come to pass at evening time there shall be light. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall go forth living water." So this is daytime. And we know in both kingdoms, if you look at Ezekiel, the epic center is where?
Zion.
Yeah, Zion, the temple, Mount Moriah. And water comes out of the temple in the thousand-year kingdom and in Yahweh's kingdom. And so this one right here, "And there shall come forth living water out of Jerusalem, half of them into the sea before and half of them into the sea behind. In winter, summer and winter shall it be." So you got right there. So we have to rightly divide and define out which one we're talking about. And we'll end right there.
You're done?
All done. And now we're going to hear from Father. I can pull the toilet paper out of my nose, maybe. I better be over the sink. Come on, be honest with me. Is it noticeable? Damn, that another. No.
I have to get one of your little minions for a head for you while you're teaching.
Now I know what Melania felt like when she's on her bumper boats.
Oh, yeah.
You get the bloody nose on your bumper boats. Yeah. So I know what you feel like now. So you're like, I don't want this. The left nostril. And, okay, well, Father, we thank you so much for this day and for your wonderful word. And open our eyes to your future laid before us. So we thank you for your scriptures. And we thank you for these words according to 1 Corinthians 14 of prophecy. As you walk forth today and tonight, walk forth arrayed and be clothed with my word. My word will set you free. My word will put you in the place where you need to be. Do not be distracted by the world around you, but speak forth my word to all that come in contact, because my word sets them free. Not your smile. Your smile is helpful, but truth gives people lasting assurance and not just feelings and emotion and hugs. Truth set people free even when you're not there. So you must share my word at all times, and do not hold your tongue, but let it ring and let them be rooted and grounded, so when they are alone, they have me and my